The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Our 16th annual National Summer Preaching Series bears witness to the gospel by reflection on the theme, Lucan Biblical Theology. I'm the Reverend Dr. Jessica Chica, and with my colleagues, the Reverend Dr. Karen Coleman and the Reverend Dr. Victoria Gaskell, along with the Marsh Chapel Choir, we will be leading you in worship today. Dean Hill is traveling this Sunday and sends his best wishes to all. We remind members of our in-person congregation that next week after the service, there will be a catered picnic meal in celebration of the 4th of July. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. As Abel, please stand in the praise of God.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. O ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, join me in glad adoration. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves to the power of sin. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown. In our moment of confession, as the choir guides us, we remember the encouragement of the scripture. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with prayer and supplication, supplication for all the saints. In supplication for all, we confess our sin and recognize our need for contrition, confession, and lament, awaiting the peace and pardon of Almighty God, trusting in the peace and pardon of God. Friends, hear the good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God.
A lesson from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 15 through 16 and 19 through 21. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram, and you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, of Abdel Minhola as prophet in your place." So he sent out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what I have done to you, He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, using the equipment from the oxen. He boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1 and 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading responsively Psalm 16 with the antiphon. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a glorious heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And now, beloved, rise up in body as you are able, but certainly in heart, for the singing of the Gloria and the reading of the Gospel.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a week. Any pastor or preacher will tell you that what you think your sermon for Sunday might look like on Monday or Tuesday can be radically different than what actually develops by Saturday evening. Consider this sermon to be a work of the Holy Spirit in a hurting world. Consider it to be living into the reality of being a person who must navigate between being living in the world that we have created as human beings and as a member of God's eternal kingdom. If we're being extra specific, consider it me living out my Lutheran identity as both sinner and saint of this world and the next, of one freed by Christ and bound to serve and love my neighbor because of that freedom. So first, a check-in. How are you? How are you? If you just said good, I bet you were just trying to exchange a pleasantry with me. I once had a therapist who would start every session by asking me, how are you? To which I would reflexively respond, good. We had to work on that. So let me try this again. How are you? Take a second to think about it. The world has been an extra difficult place to be in the past few years, if not the past few weeks and months in particular. If you are a woman, a person of color, a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, a parent, or any combination of these identities, you may be finding yourself in especially difficult circumstances right now. So how are you doing? When is the last time you checked in with yourself to really, truly explore how you're feeling? When is the last time you had a conversation with God? When is the last time you felt supported, whole, and cared for? When is the last time you felt the Holy Spirit guiding you forward or took time to see if you could sense its work in the world? It may be hard to identify right off the bat, but if you really think about a time recently when you have felt God's presence close to you, it can help make things clearer or more obvious. As we continue our exploration of Lucan theology this third Sunday after Pentecost, we find ourselves on the road. We might think that this passage is more appropriate for Lent. Jesus is setting his face toward Jerusalem, where he will die. But in this season after Pentecost, when we are constantly reminded of the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in the world, it is helpful to journey along with Jesus and the disciples. These summer months, we will journey with Jesus toward Jerusalem, meeting people, hearing their stories, and experiencing Jesus' teachings and love along the way. When Jesus is rejected by the Samaritans for a place to stay, John and James are upset. In fact, upset might be too timid a word. They want to condemn the Samaritans by having fire rain down upon them from heaven. They are angry. You might relate to some of them on any number of issues right now when you feel rejected or displeased with something in our society that shakes your core beliefs. John and James are ready to show the Samaritans what they believe God's power can do. After all, Elijah had done this in response to soldiers who had tried to stop his prophetic mission. But Jesus isn't Elijah. Jesus isn't bothered by the Samaritans' rejection. He has been rejected by his hometown, and this rejection by the Samaritans doesn't appear to be worth his time. His ministry is not one founded on vengeance. It is one focused on restoration and transformation. He continues on his journey. He moves forward. He can only do what he is called to do if he advances to the next village, the next stop along the way, preaching and teaching to each that he comes along. Jesus shows us that while sometimes anger and fury are necessary, see Jesus in the temple, that one must also keep in mind what is at the heart of God, a transformational love which will establish a kingdom far different than anything we experience out of our own creation. The gospel lesson once again leads us to see how radically different God's kingdom is from our reality when the question of discipleship arises. Jesus is very harsh with those who would be disciples. He reminds them and us how difficult being a disciple really is. There's no place to call home. There's no adherence to cultural norms. There's no time to even say goodbye to your family. Jesus commands a radical shift in understanding what a good life, what a life rooted in God really is. Jesus' ministry and the disciples who follow him must be focused on the future and the important task of proclaiming God's kingdom to the world. Jesus and the disciples are single-minded in the task that they have set before them. They cannot be distracted by the worldly demands of what is good or comfortable. God's good can be very different from the good our social conventions tell us to seek out. Our human good is often rooted in sinful power structures, particularly in using or stratifying people by economic worth, race, or gender. These power structures serve to focus us on human wants and needs over the call of God's love and justice. It's easy for us to reject those things that we consider to be evil in order to follow Christ, but sometimes what is more difficult is to reject the things that we are told to see as good that keep us from our call to love God and neighbor. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable and even reject some of the things that help us have what our society deems to be a good life if we are to truly follow Christ's command to love. Lutheran theologian and ethicist Cynthia Mo Lebeda, author of Resisting Structural Evil, Love as Ecological Economic Vocation, puts into perspective our drive towards sin and the redemptive quality of Christ's love and the paradox that is the life of a Christian. She states, "We are alienated from God as a consequence of this alienation, sin. We will betray to some extent the ways and will of God. Instead of living according to God's commandments to love God, self, and others, we will live as selves curved in on self, captive to self-interest. The profound paradox is that simultaneously we are saved by God. Salvation frees us from living as selves curved in on self and saves us for loving God, self, and others, and this good earth. God renders us living abodes of God's justice-making love. This paradox reverberates with the power for the good. It means that regardless of our implication in cruel forms of oppression, human beings are also capable of and called to lives of justice-making love. Just because there is sin, just because there is harm and hurt and destruction, does not mean that we are not capable of seeking the ultimate good. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." These are good words to hear this week. It reminds us that as followers of Christ, we are not only called to live in line with the Spirit's ways, but that we are to be dynamically involved with the Spirit, moving through life, guided by it. Like Jesus, who continues to move forward in his ministry, even when he encounters obstacles, Paul urges the Galatians to continue their spiritual journey, guided by the Holy Spirit. Paul's letter to the Galatians has some very important lessons that can be interpreted for the modern day church. He highlights the tendencies of human nature which continue to repeat themselves generation after generation. Last week, the section of Paul's letter to the Galatians addressed the false ways human beings try to create hierarchical structures of who is considered to be more or less Christian, or who is in or out from society, or who has power and who is powerless according to their own standards in the name of God. If that doesn't sound at all familiar, you haven't been paying attention recently. Our human existence is plagued by the drive towards sin, toward that which directs us away from or interferes with our relationship with God. This week, Paul reminds the Galatians that their commandment from Christ is to love one another, which is obviously something easier said than done. How will we love our neighbors as ourselves? How? How are we doing it right now? If you were a conscious, breathing human adult living in the world today, you can see the many, many, many ways in which we are failing at this. We turn a blind eye to the harm created by exploitative systems. We witness an unjustified war rooted in nationalism and economic gain. We blame poor people for not wanting to work when the wages offered are not enough to survive on. We helplessly look on as mass shooting after mass shooting after mass shooting takes place, and then are deflated when the laws that have been proven to lower gun violence are declared unconstitutional. We are left stunned when bodily autonomy is taken away, even when we knew it was coming. There are so many hurting and upset people in this world right now. As we continually experience trauma after trauma, we might begin to feel numb about what to do next. We grieve our present reality and look to the past for guidance on where we've been and how we got to this very confusing and challenging place. However, we cannot get stuck on focusing on things that have already happened. We have to face toward the future. Jesus knows that his future lies in Jerusalem. He sets his face toward it. We will spend the next 10 chapters of Luke on that trek, following his teaching and healing of people along the way. The work of God's kingdom calls us to continue to move forward in an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit and our community in order to seek God's love and justice. To move forward from this place of despair, our understanding of God must be relational. We cannot hope to have a glimpse of the kingdom here on earth if we refuse to be in relationship with one another. We need to be reminded of the ways that the Spirit is present in our lives and look for its fruits as means of identifying that which brings us into fuller relationship with one another and with God. Our discipleship is a journey, but it is also an opportunity to learn and care for one another. Listen to the fruits of the Spirit again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. None of these mean anything outside of being in relationship with God and with one another. When one of us is harmed, all of us are harmed. When we have infighting about who is right and wrong, we run the risk of destroying all. Think back to last week's reading in Galatians. Paul emphasizes that all of the divisions between people, particularly the ones we place on each other, dissolve in the body of Christ. If we succumb to infighting over these human-made structures, we weaken our expression of God's love and ultimately destroy ourselves. One of my favorite parts of my Lutheran heritage is Luther's 1520 treatise, The Freedom of a Christian. Luther builds on the concept that Paul points out to the Galatians in his epistle. You are freed by Christ by the grace of God, but with that freedom, you are to care for and be in service to your neighbor. The freedom gained through God's redeeming love in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ binds us to one another. We are to be in service to look out for, to love each other in the way that God loves us. That is what we are here to do. That is what our baptismal vow calls us toward. We have to be able to look our neighbor in the eye and treat them with the dignity they deserve in all of their complexities as human beings. God seeks out the uncomfortable. In Christ, we know that God is intimately familiar with the suffering that we endure. God also knows what it means to be in opposition to the human power structures that divert us from God's will, and how costly following Christ can be in those circumstances. God destabilizes the status quo. God causes us to question those in power about what their motives really are, to use their power for freedom, justice, righteousness, or to hold on to power for power's sake, to control, to harm, to be indifferent about the suffering of others. If the world does not care about seeking justice for all, we must commit ourselves to live out the body of Christ in the world. Again, in the words of Cynthia Mo Labeda, being the body of Christ in the world is a form of God's overflowing love embodied in community that acts responsibly in the world on behalf of an abundant life for all, especially on behalf of those who are persecuted and marginalized. We must continue forward, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our sightline is set on God's kingdom, a place where joyful abundance, justice, and peace is set forth for all people. We may share in John's and James' fury at being denied what we believe to be the right course of action, but we follow Christ through the challenges, through the discomforts, through the hardships, clinging to one another as siblings sharing in God's grace and unconditional love. In closing, I would like to share a prayer from the Reverend Micah Boosie for times such as these. Reverend Boosie is a minister at Judson Memorial Church in New York City, and he's author of the book of Tiny Prayer. You can also find him on Instagram at Rev Micah B. This prayer is entitled, A Tiny Prayer for Those Who Need to Fume Today. Let us pray. May you give yourself the permission you require, knowing that the ground feels shaky, the air feels thick, the future feels scarily uncertain. And then may you reconstitute this anger into action, connecting with those who are also transforming their rage into a radical recommitment to love, trusting that this sparking electric current presently flowing through your body is simply seeking redirection in order to refuel your continued participation in our hopeful revolution. Amen.
Thank you.
We now come to the time in our service when we turn our hearts and minds to prayer and lift up our lives and ourselves to God. Please assume an attitude and posture of prayer by either remaining seated, standing, kneeling, or coming to the altar rail as we sing together our call to prayer, "Lead Me, Lord." United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. God of faithfulness, set the face of your church firmly on you. Rooted in your self-giving love, may the church find freedom in loving our neighbors. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of gentleness, strengthen the earth's ability to heal. Where there are dangerous storms, bring calm. Where there are destructive fires, bring rain. Protect homes, habitats, and livelihoods threatened by climate disasters. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of peace, guide all who govern, that they may place the good of their citizens above self-promotion. Anoint leaders of nations with your spirit of neighborly love. Protect refugees and all who live under tyranny and conflict. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of kindness, reveal your healing presence to all who are sick or dying. Uphold those who grieve. Support the needs of any who are unemployed, hungry, or have nowhere to lay their heads. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of love, attend to those struggling with addiction, depression, or uncontrolled anger. Provide support systems and loving companions as they work toward health, that they may rest in hope and know the fullness of joy in your presence. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of joy, we give thanks for all who have died and now celebrate the inheritance of life in you. Keep their examples of faithfulness always before us, that we trust your promises in life and death. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of every time and place, in Jesus' name, and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust those spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts.
Thank you.
creator of all provision, companion in our daily life, empowerment towards life and hope. Bless these offerings and those who give them and those who receive them for the life of the world. Amen.
Siblings in Christ, the God of peace, blessed Holy Trinity, bless you, comfort you, and show you the path of life this day and always. Amen.